welcome to the program. Today we're in John chapter 5. If you have your Bible ready, you'll get more from this study. Looking at a story that actually took place 2,000 years ago, and we're going to look at the multitudes, the man, and the message. Before we do, listen to this message in song, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here.
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, where to take from a Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, the pledge to me made.
I'm reading in John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. A feast of the Jews and Jesus. Most of that multitude didn't even know that Jesus was there. They're going through the motions, but they didn't know he was there. It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the pool troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we're going to look at the man, the message, and first of all, the multitudes. The word multitude, or multitudes, plural, is found 22 times in the book of Matthew, 35 times in Mark, 20 times in Luke, and 4 times in the book of John. Wherever Jesus went, the multitudes came, including in the garden one night when it says in Matthew 26 and verse number 47, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. A lot of multitudes around, but we read back in the early part of the book of John that God, that Lord, he knew man. He knew what was in the heart of man, and he did not commit himself. Well, we have a multitude at the feast. It says in verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Also, there was a multitude at the pool. It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Well, the feast at the temple is going on there, the feast in Jerusalem. It's called the Feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to it. They had a lot of feasts. They had the Passover feast and the unleavened bread and the Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Day of Atonement. And they're going through all of these feasts, and they are supposing him to have been in the company. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 44 that Mary and Joseph took Jesus when he was 12 years old, and they went to the feast, and then they left supposing him to have been in the company. Well, we read way back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 14, God said, Your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Well, we got the same thing going on today. We have meeting after meeting. Come to our revival meetings, they say. I saw a flyer of a large, well-known church in the United States, a fundamental independent Baptist church. They were advertising on their flyer about their revival meetings, and the flyer also said the amusement park is less than 2 miles away. And that's our low, sick idea of what revival is. Come as long as we can get a crowd, get some people weeping at the end of the message for a few minutes, then go on over in the amusement park. That's where we are today, going through our motions, supposing him to be in the company. Well, there's multitudes going through the motions at the temple, and they're having feast after feast after feast going through the motions. We read in John 5 and 1, there was a feast of the Jews. And then in John chapter 6, one chapter later, verse 4, we have the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. And here's the problem. It was a feast of the Jews. In Exodus 12:11, it's called the Lord's Passover. In Exodus 12:27, the Lord's Passover. Leviticus 23:5, it is the Lord's feast here. No, not anymore. Not anymore. It's the feast of the Jews. As we read, God said, I'm tired of your feast. Now, he had appointed them. This was something they were supposed to do, but their purpose had totally changed. They're getting down there. Maybe they had an amusement park. They're going to go and watch some chariot races or something. I don't know what they were doing. But I do know this, again in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 14, it says, Your appointed feast my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you pray, he said, I will hide my eyes from you. I will not hear. Just going through the motions. That's what we're doing today. Well, then there was another thing, another multitude. There was a multitude at the temple, and there was a multitude at the pool. And in John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, a great multitude of eminent folks, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Well, it focuses on a certain man here, it says in verse 5, and there, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now that's an interesting question to ask a man who's been lying there. Do you really want to get made whole? Do you really want to be well? So we have the multitude at the temple. We can ask them the same question. We have the multitude at the pool. Wilt thou be made whole? You see, our desire to change needs to be greater than our desire to remain the same. Do you want to remain the same as you go through the motions? You can have your revival service and run off to the amusement park. Or do you want to get serious? Do you want to remain the same as you lay here by the pool with all your friends? What is your desire? Our desire to change must be greater than our desire to remain the same. We've said before many times that all through the scriptures, you have verses that refer to our action and then God reacting accordingly. There's all kinds of them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Those are all our action. His reaction, he shall direct your path. We have one in Psalm 37, verse 4, regarding desires. We said our desire to change must be greater than our desire to remain the same. Well, how can I get my desire to line up with God's desire? Here's an action and a reaction verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, that's our action, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, what that means is he will put his desires in your heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord first, it's a byproduct. And so we have a verse in Joel chapter 3 and verse number 14 that says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There we are, in the valley of decision. Spiritually, is my desire to change greater than my desire to remain the same? It is simply a decision in the valley of decision. What are you going to do? Well, we have the multitudes. Jesus and the multitudes. Let me give you a verse from a few verses from chapter 14 of the book of Luke. There's multitudes always following Jesus. And we read in Luke 14 and 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, just come with me, join up into the church here, and we'll get a building program. We'll build a big church here in Jerusalem. Is that what he said? No, that's what we'd say. What did he say in verse 26? If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that thin out the crowd. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. 28, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happy after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all behold and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but he's not able to finish. Oh, we have a lot of that going on today in the multitude. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh with 20,000. He said, if you do not hate your family more, he didn't really want them to hate family. What are we talking about here? What we're talking about here is Jesus knew the heart of those fickle people, those multitudes that were following him. They were following him because they saw the miracles. They didn't want anything to do with his message. And to that fickle group, he is who he spoke to here. Count the cost, he said. Well, Jesus went on to say in verse 32, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desires condition of peace. He went on to say, so likewise, whoso he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Then he said, Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land yet nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I have to say. Well, we have the multitudes, and we have the man. Interesting. He's been here for 38 years. 38 years, it says. Well, 8 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this man was laying there. Jesus passed by every year at the Feast of the Passover. He came back, you know, when the wise men came, when Jesus was 2 years of age, Jesus was there. When Jesus was 12 years old, he was still there. Another 18 years goes by. Remember, God is never in a hurry, but he's never late. He's here when he's in his timing, not ours. And so we see the man's condition. He is unable to walk. We see his companions. It's every man for himself. He says, while I'm trying to get down to the pool, someone else steps down before me. His companions. Now, he has to make a choice. Am I willing to leave my companions? I've had friends here for 38 years. A lot of people would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and do what he says to do, except for their companions. Choice, decisions, multitudes in the valley of decisions. And so the question is, wilt thou be made whole? Well, the message, what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 10:11? It says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now here's the message. Do I realize my need? Do I really realize my need? Going through the motions at the meetings there or laying by the pool, am I content to just be part of the multitudes, going through the valley of decisions? Someday the Bible says, what you know, the little poem, what will I do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day my heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Decisions. Am I just going through the motions? Am I supposing him to be in the company? Am I a disciple from the Lord's perspective? Is my desire to change greater than my desire to remain the same? Am I willing to face opposition when I leave the multitudes? He said, take up thy bed and walk. Well, the first thing that happened after that happened was the Pharisees came. The opposition from the religious Christ rejectors came. Verse 10, it says it was the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And verse number 16, it says, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Now, there's too much going on today where people are trying to convince people to follow Jesus. No, before you even think about it, count the cost, whether you're going to be genuine or whether you're not. We got too many hypocrites in the group already.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. For I burn with shame, grant my desire to magnify thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. My poor heart with thy great love divine. my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender.